Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Good morning and good evening, brothers and sisters. Wherever you're listening, if you're listening on the radio or on the internet, thank you for joining me here. This is Paul from Torah Life Ministries, and we are going to do another devotional right now. And this one is called Endless Repentance from our Suffer Well devotional series. And we're going to get started. We're going to read the devotional, and then I'm going to talk about it. So it says, I know that a man's life is not his own. It is not for a man to direct his steps. Correct me, Yahweh, but only with justice, not your anger, least you reduce me to nothing. And that is Jeremiah 10:23 to 24. And we'll go ahead and read that in the New Living Translation that says, I know, Yahweh, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. So correct me, Yahweh, but please be gentle. Do not correct me in anger, for I would die. And as we continue reading, how far must I go with you? Was Jeremiah written before you were born? I believe it was 2,600 years before. Did not your brother Jeremiah reveal a secret to you? Listen again. It is not for man to direct his steps. Did he make that up? It is the wisdom of man. No. Or is it the wisdom of man? No. This was a revelation given to him by my spirit. I tell you the truth. You are not to direct your steps. It is mine to lead. It is yours to obey. Why then the endless and repeated repentance? Let me ask you, did I send my son to be crucified by and for you? And is it my desire that I guide you and you follow? If you answered yes to both questions, then I have a final question. Have I not covered and protected your entire existence? From your daily activities to your complete redemption, your transformed mind. Listen to me, my child. I do desire repentance. It proves to me that you see your error. Repentance is a healthy indicator that you are following. What I don't want is continual repentance over an issue you truly are sorry for. When you ask me to forgive you, think of your Savior, my son. It is done. Forgiven. As long as you are sincere, it is forgiven. Why then do you hang on to guilt afterwards? Stop it. Move on. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am a new thing. And Isaiah 43:18 says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. And in finishing up the devotional this morning, it says, press on, my child, press on. I forgave you, and forgive is the past tense. I have accepted my son's sacrifice. Do not belittle such a glorious offer by not believing in you are forgiven. Press on and upward to the upward call, my child, press on. So that is our devotional this morning. And as we look at that and think about that, and think about the idea of repentance bringing refreshing. It's not supposed to hold us back. It's supposed about moving us forward. We're to bend to his ways. And the path, there's so many scriptures about him guiding our path and making our path right. It says in Proverbs, which is another word for wisdom, 20 verse 24, Yahweh directs our steps. Why try to understand everything along the way? So why try to understand everything along the way? When we give up our flesh to his spirit, he will direct our steps. And we understand that we're living and walking in pure darkness. But when we open up his holy word, it says clearly in the scriptures, his word is a light for our path. If you're in a dark room and you're walking around and you don't know where you're going, you got a problem. But when you get a light, now you can see. That's what the word is. It's a light for our darkness. And then once we got that light for our darkness, even if we have obstacles along the way, Our Creator tells us in His Word that He's going to clear our paths for us and make them smooth and direct them, telling us and showing us where to go. So not only now do we have a visual light, we also have an audible director telling us, go there and don't go there. Everything we need to know is found in His scriptures, visually and orderly, telling us and showing us. And then He puts His Spirit in us, giving us a hatred for sin and a love for Him. So now we have a taste for the good things and a disgust for the bad things. So now we have the audible, the visual, and also the tasteable. As the scripture says in the Psalms, taste and see how good He is. Think about all this. Something just doesn't seem right when we're walking in the Spirit to live a life that's not of Him. He directs our paths. And He created us and He gave us these senses. These senses. You know, when we're about to get ourselves in trouble and we have wise wisdom, we can say something doesn't smell right about the situation. You know, we got these senses. Isaiah 26:7 says, for those who are righteous, the way is not steep or rough. You are Yahweh who does what is right, and you smooth out the path ahead of them. Who is them? Those are the ones that are seeking Him and using His Word as the guide. This book is not only a treasure map that will lead us to the treasure, but it'll help us get there. That's what it is. It's amazing. And we've spent our whole lives messing up and making mistakes, but repentance brings refreshing. And if we sincerely repent for something, even something we're struggling with, we'll eventually be able to overcome that. But we have to have the heart to understand our ways mean nothing compared to His ways. It's His ways we need to follow. And we need to use these senses and taste and see. And I read to you this morning, Psalms 34. I just love this psalm. And it says, Psalms 34, I will praise Yahweh at all times, all times. I will consistently speak His praises. I will boast only in Yahweh. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come and let us tell of Yahweh's greatness. Let us all exalt His name together. I prayed to Yahweh and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my depression I prayed and Yahweh listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of Yahweh is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him. Taste and see that Yahweh is good. Taste and see that Yahweh is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear Yahweh, you, His godly people. For those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in Yahweh will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear Yahweh. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of Yahweh watch over those who do right. His ears are open to the ones who cry for help. But Yahweh turns His face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. Yahweh hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Yahweh is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but Yahweh comes to rescue him each time. For Yahweh protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished, but Yahweh will redeem those who serve Him. No one who takes refuge in Him will be condemned. How beautiful this is. How beautiful. How many of you are ready to get a good understanding of what we read today in the devotional and understand about repentance and understand about His wonderful joy that He gives us? How many of you are ready to taste and see? to taste and see. It says in Luke 15, 4, verse 7, 15, 4 to 7, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to Yahweh than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. We have to understand true repentance leads to regret. Godly sorrow and turning from sin. Counterfeit leads to self-pity and worldly sorrow. We need to get this straight and understand this is extreme essence that we get this. 2 Corinthians 7 verses 8 to 10 says, for even if I grieved you with my letter, I do not regret it. Even though I did regret it since I saw that the letter grieved you, yet only for a little while. Now I rejoice because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you were grieved as Yahweh willed, so that you didn't experience any loss from us. For godly grief produces a repentance not to be regretted and leading to salvation, but worldly grief produces death. I call to you all today to taste and see how good he is. Psalms 51:4 says, against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. That is the truth. And the false we see in Matthew 27 verses 3 to 5, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Yeshua had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priest and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. What do we care? They retorted. That's your problem. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. Out of Yahweh's grace, he grants us repentance. Do we get that and understand that? True repentance. Acts 11 verse 18 says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified Yahweh, saying, then Yahweh had also the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent them draws them to me. And in the last day I will raise them up. That's John 6:4. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Yahweh may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of truth. And then Acts 5:31 says, Yahweh has exalted his right to hand the very man as our leader and savior in order to extend repentance and forgiveness for all our sins. Repentance brings refreshing. When we understand what this word means, but I'm sad to say that this word has become a curse word in today's immoral society. When people hear the word repent, they think you're judging them. When people hear the word repent, they look at it as a religious thing and not a spiritual thing. This world is backwards. One of the greatest words in the scriptures is repent. One of the most offensive words to man today in their flesh is to repent. We need to get this right. Yahweh commands all men to repent, to put our faith in Yeshua. And people need to hear that. Acts 17:30 says, Yahweh looked at the people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. Repent means to turn, to change your mind so your actions will change. Your mind produces your actions. But it comes from the heart. It says in his Psalms, as a man's face is reflected in water, so his actions will be reflected by his heart. But his brain will reflect his heart. Matthew 4:16-17 says, the people who sat in darkness have seen great light. And those who lived in a land where death cast a shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Yeshua began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh. The kingdom of heaven is near. And Mark 1:15 says the time promised by Yahweh has come at last. He announced the kingdom of Yahweh is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. We have to get this straight and understand this. We can't reject repentance or look at it as a bad thing, for without repentance, there is no forgiveness. I'll say it again. For without repentance, there is no forgiveness. As it says, repentance brings refreshing, Acts 3:19. Now repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh so your sins will be wiped away. It's the only way to begin the process of salvation. Luke 13:3 says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. For repentance is a result of your true faith in Yeshua. You need it as part of the sanctification process. We need it. This wicked world today doesn't understand what that's about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Yeshua, he is a new creature and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we die with Yeshua, we rise with Yeshua. Matthew 7:16 to 17 says, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs or thistles? And the same way every good tree produces good fruit, but bad tree produces bad fruit. And we've discussed in this devotional time after time again what good fruit and what bad fruit is. Luke 3:8 to 14 says, therefore produce fruit consistent with repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that Yahweh is able to raise up children for Abraham for those stones. Even now the axe is ready to strike the roof of the trees, the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What then should we do? The crowds were asking him. He replied to them, the one who has two shirts must share with some who has none. And the one who has food must do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? And he told them, don't collect any more than what you have been authorized. Some soldiers also questioned, what should we do? And he said to them, don't take money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages. Yahweh's kindness and patience leads to repentance. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters as the scales from their eyes are lifted. Romans 2 verse 4 says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, and not realizing that Yahweh's kindness is intended to lead to repentance? 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, Yahweh is not slow concerning his promise, as some regard slowness, but is being patient towards you because he is not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. In Jeremiah 33, it says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they will live. So they will live. We must get this right. We must understand this. And I pray that everyone's hearing me this day. Romans 7:15 to 17 says, I do not understand what I do, for I want to do and not do, but what I hate to do. And I do not what I not want to do. I agree that the Torah is good, and all that in it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin leading in me. And Romans 7:24 says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? But then we see the answer. We see the answer in Revelation 3:19. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And Hebrews 12:5 to 7 says, and you have forgiven the exhaustion of the addresses of that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take Yahweh's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him. For Yahweh disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Enduring suffering as discipline, Yahweh is dealing with you as sons. For what son is that the father does not discipline? So I pray that this is touching you this morning. And 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Hallelujah. 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 We have a call, folks. We have a call to be set apart. Set apart for our holy creator. And it doesn't matter what that means to you. We need to look at what the scriptures say about being set apart. Set apart means holy. And people today are just not getting this concept. Not understanding it. 2 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own. As a result, you can show others the goodness of Yahweh, for he called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, you have been set apart as holy to Yahweh, your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his special treasure. Hallelujah. All the way in the back of the book in Revelations 18:4, it says, then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. Psalms 4:3 says, you can be sure of this. Yahweh set apart the godly for himself. Yahweh will answer when I call to him. Do we understand set apartness? 1 John 4:4 says, but you belong to Yahweh, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says Yahweh your Elohim. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of Yahweh. We must conform to Yeshua. We must do that. Remember Romans 12:2, which I pray every morning. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve Yahweh's will. He is good and pleasing and perfect. Since you are raised from the dead with Yeshua, aim at what is in heaven, where Yeshua is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Think about the things in heaven, not the things on earth. Your old sinful self has died and your new life is kept with Yeshua our Messiah. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. That's Colossians 3, 1-3. We get it. When I first became a believer, somebody told me, think of your life as a crystal vase. A crystal vase. And there's two kind of vases. There's one that's been mishandled and has scratches and cracks all over it and dents in it. But you want your vase to be clean and beautiful and pristine with no scratches or dents. And that's what Yahweh does. Yahweh does. No matter how much you've been bruised or damaged in your life, he'll take away those scratches and those dents. He'll restore that vase to its original beauty. And you look like the purest piece of crystal that's ever been out there. The purest. Understanding we were made new in Yeshua. Continually renewing the knowledge that Yeshua has given us. A new creature. We have to get this and embrace this. That we are Yahweh's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are Yahweh's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Yeshua so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. And what are those good things? They're found in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The books that the church tells people not to read. The books that the church tells people have done away with. I'd say the church is deceiving people away from the scriptures, not towards it. The first five books are filled with the good things he planned for us a long time ago. We need to read the whole book in Genesis, is known as Bereshit, the beginning. from Genesis all the way to Revelation, talks about his good things. And when you only read half of the book, you only get half of the knowledge, half of the blessings. Remember Matthew 10, verses 16 to 17 says, "Look, I am sending you out as sheep among the wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. No matter what, do not follow the way of the wicked. Do not." 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee from evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, love, peace, and faith, along with those who call on Yahweh out of pure heart." Ephesians 5:11 says, "Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." Deuteronomy 18:14 says, "Because those nations that are about to be disposed, listen to those who do witchcraft and divination, but Yahweh does not allow you to act this way." Exodus 23:2 says, "You must not follow the crowd in wrongdoing. Do not testify a lawsuit and go along with the crowd to pervert justice, but to imitate Yeshua. Therefore, be imitators of Yahweh and beloved children." Ephesians 5:1. "I'd much rather have the world question me and be good with Yahweh than have Yahweh question me and be good with the world." The world will hate you for everything you're trying to accomplish. 1 Peter 4:4 says, "Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of the wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you." It's time to separate ourselves. That's what being set apart is about. And repentance is the beginning of that process. John 14, verses 23 to 24 says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." We must repent. We must seek and desire to be set apart from these people's ways and their desires. And our desires must become his desires, loving what he loves and hates what he hates. Hallelujah. Tasting and seeing how good he is. He's so good, so good. And I pray that you understand this is the day is made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. So please share this teaching with others and let people know the beauty and the refreshing that comes along with repenting and the desire to be set apart. Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters, and that Yahweh be with you all. And until then, everybody, shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
Hi, I'm Lorna Moody, a licensed realtor with RE/MAX of Stewart. I have a passion for helping people, and I'm determined to help all my clients in all aspects of their transactions. I specialize in first-time buyers, and I'm a certified military relocation professional. If you're in the market to purchase vacant land for investment or future development, I would love to be your realtor of choice. So, for all your real estate needs within the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast, I can be reached at 772-872-2102.
June 11th through 13th, Real Life Church will be hosting the 2020 Women's Retreat. The theme is Run Your Race. Reserve your free seat at reallifepsl.com. Real Life Church, where miracles happen every day, pastored by Pastor Terry Owen.
I'm Rick Addison, pastor of The Grace Place. This weekend, I'm sharing a Father's Day message, a biblical model for manhood. We have some fantastic prizes for a couple of lucky dads and an incredible dad's toy show in the parking lot. Join us for worship Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 9 or 11 a.m. online at thegraceplace.com/watch. We're located at 1550 Salerno Road, Stewart, Florida. Call us at 772-287-6388. At The Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.